Triune God, be thou our stay, O let us perish never. That's going to be the first subject of today's Law and Gospel on this Wednesday, September the 26th in the year of our Lord 2012. I'm Tom Baker, your host, and this is a call-in program. So if you'd like to call in on these subjects, 505-7850 and toll-free 1-800-730-2727. That's 505-7850 and 1-800-730-2727. Yes, we're going to examine a Triune God Be Thou Our Stay, because that is the assigned hymn for this coming Sunday in the season of Pentecost. It was written by Martin Luther. The great reformer died in 1546. Actually, Triune God Be Thou Our Stay, the first line changes, but all the rest of the hymn is the same in each verse, each stanza. The first line, Triune God Be Thou Our Stay, or you can sing, God the Father Be Our Stay, Jesus Christ Be Thou Our Stay, or Holy Spirit Be Thou Our Stay. Now, it'd be pretty easy to go through the whole hymn since there's only really one verse long except for those first lines. However, we're looking at what is distinctly Lutheran about it. What is distinctly a Reformation about it? What is distinctly Law and Gospel about it? Because Law and Gospel is the epitome of understanding the theology in the Scripture. I think the first line is really quite interesting. Oh, let us perish never. It depends what you mean by perish, does it not? There's no doubt that we use the word when some people die under certain circumstances. Normally, if someone is elderly and they have the flu and their heart gives out, we don't say they perished. But if somebody's in a car accident, maybe at a young age, instantaneous, we might use the word there, perish. But when God uses the word perish in this context, he's referring to going to hell forever. And we are, as all hymns do, praying to God that we will perish never. Now, how can that be? In light of the fact that we're dear sinners, well, listen to the very next line. Cleanse us from our sins, we pray. Does that remind you of any item that is found in the Bible about cleansing? Well, what it reminds me about was Peter. Yes, Peter was on a roof one day, and he was about to meet a Gentile, Cornelius. In fact, he was a centurion as part of the Italian regiment. Centurion means 100 people, 100 soldiers. And about the sixth hour, Peter went up to the housetop to pray, which would be around noon. He fell into a trance, and verse 11 in chapter 10 of Acts says, he saw heaven open and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him and said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Now, the description of these animals means that they were unclean under the ceremonial laws of that day. So Peter said, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean. And then the voice comes to him a second time, what God has cleansed, you must not call common. You see, the ceremonial laws, particularly the eating of unclean food, was to remind you that you are not yet saved from your sins. Oh, You may be a believer and you were saved, but the sins had not yet been taken away until Jesus came to die upon the cross. And once he had died upon the cross, remember Acts chapter 10 is written after Jesus was crucified, was risen from the dead, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. So now there are no reason to have unclean meat. There's no need for a reminder that you're unclean because God has cleansed you. And therefore, you ought not be called common, which the Gentiles were called. And in fact, while Peter wondered within himself what this vision which he had seen meant, behold, the man who had been sent from Cornelius, remember he's a Gentile, stood before the gate. And they asked about Peter, and they got Peter to go and visit with Cornelius the next day in Caesarea. And, of course, that family was converted. The point I'm making here is God did more than just forgive your sins. He cleansed you. And the evidence for that is pretty obvious. Christians go to the Lord's Supper and receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. At least that's what Jesus says. And therefore, since God says it, that settles it. How can you, an unclean person, receive the Holy of Holies within you? Because you have been cleansed. See, this is what God has done. He cleanses you from his point of view. Now, there is no evidence that you are cleansed except the Word of God, because all the evidence is obviously, clearly, that you are a sinner. We made this point yesterday with Pastor Smith, the big difference between walking by faith and walking by sight. You want to walk by sight, you'll never feel righteous enough to go to heaven, ever. You want to walk by faith, then trusting in the promises of God, guess what? He declares you cleansed. He declares you perfect. That's why the hymn always addresses the triune God and the various persons of the Holy Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And the prayer is that we will perish never. And then right after it comes the reason we will perish never. Cleanse us from our sins, we pray, and grant us life forever. So Martin Luther, in just two lines, has the entire substance of the Reformation. In contrast to what was being taught in that day, that your works really better make a difference as to whether or not you're saved. No, your works... If an unbeliever does the very best within him, they're pitiful, sinful works. Because the very best within an unbeliever always is motivated by self-interest. It's impossible not to be motivated by self-interest. And it is that self-interest that makes it very clear that you are not right with God. So that's the hymn, Triune God Be Thou Our Stay. Like I say, it's only one verse, so I'll kind of read it. O let us perish never, cleanse us from our sins, we pray, and grant us life forever. Keep us from the evil one, uphold our faith most holy, and let us trust thee solely with humble hearts and lowly. Let us put God's armor on with all true Christians running our heavenly race and shunning the devil's wiles and cunning. Amen, amen, this be done. So sing we, alleluia. By the way, that last line during the season of Lent is to be read, O Lord, have mercy upon us, since we normally don't sing the alleluias during the season of Lent. Hymn written by Martin Luther and indicates so clearly that we are cleansed and that we receive salvation through faith, because uphold our faith most holy. It's a holy faith because anything given to you by God is holy. All right, Let's go ahead to an email received. My comment is this. There are so many churches that reflect so many earthly principles, and they become what you that teach a theology of glory say. They make the people feel good about what they are doing, and they end up leaving the service. Boy, church sure was fun today. You are right saying that they don't emphasize the need for a Savior or how bad their sin is. Now, that is a problem. It seems that these Christians are missing something in their life. Now, that's the email. There's some other points. He does say, I love the liturgical services within the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod because they keep us on track on the following premises. First, we are sinners imploring God the Father's forgiveness. Then we listen to the pastor read us the readings from the Bible. Then we listen to the sermon as the pastor applies the readings from the Bible to our lives. Then we confess our faith in the proper creed as we get ready to approach the table of grace and receive the Word become flesh in the sacraments in Holy Communion. Now, my friend I was talking to had a question concerning you. Okay, you believe that the Bible is the Word of God, but what is the purpose of the Lutheran confessions? I'm sorry I didn't have an answer for him. By the way, that email is from Germany. So you can tell that we've got a lot of listeners all over the world. So how do we respond to that? Maybe you have an answer. Numbers are 505-7850 or toll free 1-800-730-2727. But let me answer. Okay, if the Bible is our only source of information about God, what use is the Lutheran Confessions? That is a really good question. Because it sounds like we're adding on to the Bible. And you know you are cursed if you add to the Bible or subtract from the Bible according to the last chapter of Revelation. So, why do we have the Lutheran Confessions? Well, let me give you maybe an example of, I'll try and get as close as an analogy as is possible. You are going to try and help somebody build a table. So rather than taking them to a table and showing how they put it together, you take them to the machinery and teach them how to use the machinery. And he says, no, I don't want to look at the machinery. I just want to look at the table. I can figure it out myself. No, you can't. Take it from someone who's taken woodworking classes. There's a really interesting book out that you don't really become an expert at what you're doing unless you put in about 10,000 hours. So if you spend 10,000 hours in woodworking, yes, you'd be a real expert in woodworking. There's just no doubt about it. If you spent 10,000 hours playing the piano, practicing the piano, you would be a very, very good pianist. 10,000 hours seems to be about the number that people who have become expert in their area, they have to have spent in preparation for that. Now, when we're talking about the Bible, can you imagine having an adult instruction class? Okay, we're going to talk about the Bible today, and we want you to know what this church teaches about the Bible. So, let's begin with Genesis 1, verse 1. And we're going to meet each week. We hope to get through chapter 1 today. So, in about 17 years, you should be able to join this church. Well, obviously, that's not how you do adult instruction. Because not all parts of the Bible are as important. In fact, just think about law and gospel. What's more important, the law or the gospel? Well, the gospel is more important because it alone brings salvation. The law never brings salvation. Then there's all those passages that are simply historical notes, like Nimrod was a hunter, things like that. They don't have anything to do. The reason the Lutheran confessions are so important is they summarize the important points of the Bible accurately. So you don't have to reinvent the wheel every time you go to do adult instruction. That's a really important point, that the Lutheran confessions are an accurate summary of the Bible. In fact, I've often said the reason we go to church is for the point of learning whether... I'm sorry. The reason I went to the seminary is for the point of learning whether or not the Lutheran confessions were an accurate summary of Holy Scripture. Because if they are, I don't have to go to Holy Scripture every time. I can go to the summary. And as long as it's accurate, as long as it mirrors the Bible, then it makes it a lot easier. For example, is Jesus man? Well, you want to start in Genesis 1, go all the way through Revelation 22? No. You go to those passages that talk about him as truly human. And then those passages that demonstrate and reveal that he's truly divine. And in that way, you get both points. 505-7850 or toll-free 1-800-730-2727. Let's go talk with James. Hi, James.
Hello, Pastor. Does Galatians 3:26 through 29 reflect the purpose of the Lutheran confessions?
Yes.
Because...
No. In fact, you could have said, does Exodus 4:8 through 10, does Jeremiah 5... Obviously, there's no part of the Bible that doesn't reflect the Lutheran confessions, or else I would be Roman or Baptist or something like that.
Well, from my perspective and from teachers that have been very good to me, like Pastor Wolf and Pastor Nicely, who graciously gave me a Book of Concord and kind of helped me through it,
Aren't you going to mention the book I gave you?
Yes.
Okay, never mind.
It's
Law and
Gospel.
Go ahead.
And I was getting to that. That okay. Listening to your program, that I kind of feel that this is one of the main teachings that has enlightened me. And so I would like for you to give me a Law and Gospel application of Galatians 3:26 through 29, please, and
where
how
you
it
are
connects to the
neither Jew nor Greek, slave nor free. That's the one you're talking about?
It says, for you are all sons of God. Is that 3?
Yes.
26 through 29?
Right, right, right.
Okay.
Right.
And I'll hang up and listen.
Oh, well, before you do.
Yes, sir.
When it says you are all sons of God, to whom is he referring?
Christians.
And how do you know that?
Through faith.
No.
How?
Through Scripture.
Through Scripture.
Yeah, Scripture interprets Scripture, James.
Okay.
Now, you believe it, and so it can be through faith. You're not wrong.
Okay.
But all you have to do is go back to the second verse of Galatians, and guess what Paul says? To the churches of Galatia.
What does he say, Pastor?
That's what he says, to the churches of Galatia.
Okay.
So he says, you are all sons of God. So he's talking about those who are truly members of the church. I'll go ahead and do an analysis.
Thank you, sir.
Okay, thanks.
Bye.
All righty. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. This is really critical. You are not sons and daughters. Oh, am I saying women aren't part of the church? No. I'm saying women are sons. What do you mean women are sons? Well, you have to understand, culturally wise, in Jewish circles, and remember, Paul's writing to Jews, Galatians, and Gentiles there too, by the way, but the son would get the inheritance. So what good is it being a woman to be a Christian if you don't get the inheritance? But in Christ, she's regarded as a son. So all of us are sons of God, and what? Through our good works in Christ Jesus? No, through faith. See, this is the essence of the Lutheran confessions. Works don't count for anything. They don't get you into the church. They don't keep you in the church. Because look at the analogies that God uses. When somebody is blind and sees, what work did he do? None. John chapter 9, he was healed. Lame and walk, deaf and hear, mute and speak. How about this one? Lazarus, dead and resurrected. What did Lazarus do? Oh, he made up his mind. He made a decision to come out of the tomb. Oh, yeah, sure. And, of course, the most wonderful, in my opinion, analogy is adopted. What works does a baby do to get adopted? None. What works does a baby do to stay a member of the family? None. Works don't count in a family relationship. It's just so simple. And I can't understand why every other religion in the world, it's works that get you into the salvation realm, and it's works that keep you in the salvation realm. That is the essence of the Reformation. Because as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ, and it doesn't matter if you're a Jew or a Greek or a slave or a free or a male or a female, in Christ, you are all equal. And therefore, you are heirs according to the promise. Now, that's a great example. So verse 26 says, you're all sons. Verse 28 says, male and female. And verse 29 says, you're therefore heirs. So women are heirs according to the promise because they're females, but because they're sons of God. Let's go back to the phone lines and talk to Rick. Hi, Rick.
Hi, Pastor Baker.
Hi.
How are you today?
Fine.
Okay. I was going to say at first, through Adam, wouldn't we all be considered a son of God? But then I remember the time when Jesus was talking to the Pharisees, and he told them that your father
is the devil.
Right.
Here's where you make a distinction. Distinction's the art of theology, Rick. God is creator in two ways. He's creator in the creation sense and in the redemption sense. If you're talking about him as creator, then every person, believer and unbeliever, is a son of God because they were created by God in that sense. But if you're talking about redeemed individuals, only those who are in faith in Jesus are considered spiritual sons. Everybody else is just biological.
Okay. There's a messianic rabbi that I like to listen to, and one of his expressions is, this is why everybody needs a rabbi. And I'll say the same about you. This is why everybody needs a Tom Baker. All right. Thank you, sir.
Thanks so much for calling. And I'm going to tape record that and give it to my wife today. Okay. No, seriously speaking, let me change the words Tom Baker to ordained pastor. We don't fool around in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. You're not going to see someone in the pulpit who is not an ordained pastor. Now, that's because we're really serious what God has said, that he has created the office of pastor, and it's kind of an under-shepherd. Jesus is still the shepherd in the church, but the pastor is the under-shepherd, and he has the task specifically of using word and sacrament in bringing up the congregation in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. A pastor, hopefully trained in the Greek and the Hebrew, therefore has insights that you'll never hear from a layperson. Now, occasionally there can be a layperson like Melanchthon or Chemnitz who read so much and spent all their time doing that that they were much wiser in spiritual areas than most of the priests at that time. Of course, you got to remember, in Luther's day, at the time of the Reformation, 16th century, most of the priests could not name the Ten Commandments. I saw that recently on a Man on the Street interview, and they asked, what are the Ten Commandments? And nobody could name all ten, and most of them only got three or four of them. Like, murder is pretty obvious, and thievery and adultery, but outside of that, they were pretty well lost. A huge ignorance back in Jesus' day, back in Luther's day, and once more, we're seeing that. So that's why you've got to listen to Worldwide KFUO, because where you're, what you're hearing here, you're not hearing on other radio stations. There may be the occasional program on other radio stations like Issues, etc., or the Lutheran Hour. Yes, that comes through. But by and large, KFUO has got a message that is just really unique and different from any other radio station in the entire world. And that's why tomorrow we're going to be talking about a question a number of you have been asking or at least wanting more information on. Sorry, I'm not going to be able to take any more calls. We're out of time. So thanks for calling, but maybe you can get tomorrow, because Peter Kurowski is going to be on with us, at which time he's going to be answering what brought him to the conclusion as to whether or not animals are in heaven, pets in heaven, and he's going to share that with you, what he found in the scripture. I'm Tom Baker. Till tomorrow then, God bless.
Listen to Law on KFUO Radio. You can write Pastor Tom at KFUO Radio, 85 Founders Lane, St. Louis, Missouri, 63105. Or email lawgospel@lawgospel.com. Law and Gospel is archived for your listening convenience at KFUO.org.